This is the PR Podcast, a show about how public relations helps you tell your story to the world. We talk with great PR practitioners who have the skills, creativity, and just plain savvy to get their clients noticed. Now here's your host, Jody Fisher.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the PR Podcast. I'm Jody Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Well, don't forget to send us your PR Podcast plug. This is the way we get to love on you for something you do outside of your 9-to-5. It's the extracurricular stuff, right? It's not the great media hit you got for your clients. We all know we get those all the time. Wink, wink. But what we want to hear about is the other stuff that you do. Your cool blog, your TikTok channel, your cooking hobby, the book you just read, or wrote. We all read the book. Who wrote the book, right? Give us your author stripes there. Let us know about the latest award that you won, or maybe your agency won, or the cool thing that you did outside the 9-to-5. Send it to us so we can plug it for you at the top of an upcoming episode. Reach out to me, Jody at JodyFisherPR.com, or on any of the socials at the PR Podcast or at Jody Fisher. And let us know. We will mention you at the top of an upcoming show. Now let's get on with our show and our conversation with a terrific guest today. Jen Hartman is founder of Neat, the agency based in Louisville, Kentucky. And I know I didn't Louisville that enough, but she'll help me out. And where Jen helps clients across industries, including CPG, fashion, tech, beverage, and hospitality. She's a podcast host and a marketing professor with almost a decade of industry experience. Her expertise has also earned her prominent features in The Sun, Business Insider, Authority Magazine, and more. Jen, welcome to the PR Podcast.
Jody, thank you so much for having me. And can I just give you a compliment real quick? You have the best podcast voice. I want that. Where did you learn how to speak like that?
For those who do not know, I used to be a radio reporter. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up.
I can tell. Okay, it makes sense now.
And you can take the boy out of radio, but not the radio out of the boy. So that's where it comes from. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You gotta let me know now. How did you get into The Sun? Where'd that come from?
Okay, so it's a fun story. So it actually has nothing to do with my business, but it has everything to do with a lot of wedding mishaps that happened back in 2022. I had a TikTok that went viral, and the TikTok essentially was just about how my wedding dress was ruined a week before my wedding. I took it to a seamstress and they made some alterations to it to the point where I couldn't zip the dress anymore. The straps were uneven. It had sequins that were missing from the dress. There was a leg slit that was a little too sexy for a wedding. It was just a whole disaster. And I was like, well, I mean, I should probably just make a TikTok about it, right? Like, that's what the youths are doing nowadays. Like, might as well do what the kids are doing and make a TikTok about my wedding issues. Put it up on TikTok. It went viral. And The Sun had reached out to me and wanted to feature it. And they had a couple of follow-up questions. So it ended up getting picked up. And then, of course, it was syndicated and it ended up on a couple of other outlets. But it was just really funny. And it just goes to show that you don't have to pitch the media directly to get featured. If you post content, whether it's LinkedIn, Instagram, or TikTok, you can also get picked up that way as well.
There you go. And it reinforces what I believe about PR, which is good coverage follows good actions or good work or good things that happen, right? PR doesn't happen in a vacuum. Reporters report on stuff that's going on, hence the word news, right? It's new stuff. And that's great. We're going to have to link to that TikTok video in the show notes. It's still up there. Is it still up there? Or did you take it down?
No, it is still out in the wild today. Here's my fear. I feel like one day a client is going to see it or a prospect is going to see it and be like, this girl is crazy. Like, we don't want to hire her. So I'm going to keep it up until that day happens. Once that day happens, it's coming down off the internet.
You got to look at that view count, right? The view count goes, we need to hire her. We want to be like this.
She knows how to go viral.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, tell us about your business. It's called Neat the Agency. You're based in Louisville. I'm Louisville.
Oh, man.
I can't.
It is a tough one. You have to have like a couple shots of bourbon before you start to say Louisville. So once you're drunk, Louisville comes a lot more easily. But no, when I first moved here, it was Louisville. And then a couple years later, it was then Louisville. My family members still say Louisville and Louisville. I've heard Louisville one too many times. And every time I hear, I'm like, no. But yeah, so I live in Louisville, not originally from here. I'm actually from Pennsylvania, moved here when I was 18. I was actually a nationally ranked BMX racer. And my manager lived here and my team lives here. So naturally, Louisville made sense. We have a world-class track. So moved here, went to college, continued BMX racing until my early 20s. You're making faces at me, which is really
that's
funny.
That's so cool. No, it's so cool. I love it. You should, see, that's the thing we want, like for the PR podcast plug. We want stuff like that.
Yeah.
We want to talk about people like that.
There you go. Yeah. I was like national number 7 until I was like 22, 23 when I retired.
Wow, but that's so cool.
Yeah. Now I'm not as cool. And I just like ride mountain bikes and I don't go over jumps anymore because I have a very healthy level of fear that I didn't have in my early 20s and growing up. Like I know now that I cannot break an arm because I do have to work on that Monday. So I'm a little bit safer at this point in my life. But anyways, that's how I ended up in Louisville. Bourbon capital of the world, truly. We have so many different bourbon companies here. So when I moved here, naturally, everyone was drinking bourbon. And I was like, what is this all about? Nobody drank bourbon back home. And I tried it, loved it immediately. I cannot drink beer, can't drink wine. I cannot drink anything else except for bourbon. I just don't have the palate for it. And when I was working in corporate, fast forward to 2019, I was working a corporate job that I truly didn't enjoy. And I was looking for an out. And I was like, well, why don't I just start my own business? How hard could it possibly be? And anybody who has started a business knows how hard it actually is. But I was incredibly naive in my mid-20s. So I was drinking one night, trying to come up with ideas for the name of the agency. And I was looking at my glass of bourbon and I was like, huh, neat.
There it is.
I also believe PR and marketing should be neat. And I was like, there we go. Because I thought,
now maybe you got to explain what neat is in the drinking world for those who don't know.
Yes. For those of you who are not drinkers, neat is essentially just enjoying a beverage straight. So no ice, no extra flavorings, just whiskey straight. And that's how I think whiskey bourbon should be served. It should be served neat. And again, that's how I think PR and marketing should be done as well. It should be neat. So there's a couple different meanings there. I also thought about On the Rocks and how like that didn't sound like a really stable name for an agency.
Oh, that sounds like crisis, doesn't it?
It sounded not ideal. I can't imagine going up to people and be like, hi, yes, I'm the founder of On the Rocks agency. And they would be like, oh, that doesn't sound stable enough for us to like work with you. No, thank you. So neat it is. We live in bourbon country. So it all kind of made sense. But we started in 2019. And when I say we, it was me. It was me in 2019, not a we. But we have grown to a team of 14 over the past couple of years. And we've worked with almost 300 brands across, I don't know, a dozen or so industries. So we've been really fortunate. I've really enjoyed my time as a founder, despite it being a roller coaster, as I'm sure you and your listeners know.
That's fantastic. How did you grow that team? Was it a matter of bringing in the clients that paid the bills that allowed you to hire the more staff, or what did you do?
You nailed it. Yep. So it really was just a matter of bringing in more clients. And then it was like, okay, we have a significant amount of work to do. I can't do this work. I need other people to come in and support me. The other problem too is not a problem, but I would consider myself a generalist. Like I am through and through a generalist. Okay. You as well. All right. Great. Generalist high five over here.
Oh yeah. Virtual high five. There you go.
Yes. So I am good at PR, good at marketing, good at sales, all the things. But I'm not good at executing. I am not like, I don't enjoy working in the nitty gritty of things. Like if you were like, hey, Jen, can you write me a press release and distribute it and follow up? I'd be like, that's going to take me like 40 hours to do. Like that is not my cup of tea. My cup of tea is building an agency and hiring the right people and putting them in the right places and letting them do their job. So that's what I did as early on as I could do it. But yes, we had to justify the clients in order to hire the team. But yeah, now we're here.
That's great. So you said a team of 14, I assume those folks, and given the subject matters that you're in, are either young or young at heart, and you had some ideas you wanted to share about how you hire that generation of folks and what goes into turning them into a cohesive team.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a young team. We are all millennial. We are all Gen Z, and we're all women. And so it's a really interesting dynamic. And sometimes when I talk to prospects, I'm never sure if I tell them that, if it'll actually resonate, or if they're going to look at me and go, oh, you guys are just a bunch of babies. Like, why should we hire you for this job? And actually, when it comes to PR and marketing, I would say it's really beneficial to have a young team, because we are on TikTok all the time. We're keeping up with things on X. We're on LinkedIn all the time. We are very savvy when it comes to social media and trends. And so we pitch a lot of trending topics because we know what the trends are because we're on TikTok all the time. And so we get our clients a lot of great features, and we get features that are very relevant. We're not just sending out a press release once a month. Like, we're doing a lot of news jacking, and we're working on fun content ideas, and we're working with influencers. So we're doing things that are a little bit more relevant in 2024. Not that press releases aren't relevant. I don't want to like say anything bad about press releases.
I know, I get exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just like doing things that are a little bit more trendy because we're a younger team.
And that's where the news organizations are, right? Because, you know, you're not just, for example, printing a newspaper every day. You've also got a video component with your website. You've also got social. You're also working potentially with influencers. You might even be using affiliate links. That's all the language that Gen Z speaks. So why not have a team that's made up of them?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not even like we hire younger women on purpose. It just so happens like the way in which we write our job descriptions and the qualities we're looking for, the experience we're looking for, it happens to just apply to someone who's in their 20s or 30s. And so anyways, we do have a younger team, and something that I kept in mind throughout the hiring process, every time we hire someone, is I and my COO, anybody who's a little bit older on the team, we have had really awful corporate experiences. Like, we have been yelled at in front of people. We have been harassed. We've been bullied. We've been in really bad environments, and we know what a bad manager looks like. And so we all want to do the total opposite of what our experience in being managed has been. And so we take everyone's feelings into account. We do mental health check-ins. If somebody is telling us they're having a really bad anxiety day or depression day, we're like, take the day off of work, go hang out, get better. You take care of you. And that is something that I could have never said when I worked in corporate. I would have been, I'm sure, fired on the spot had I been like, I'm having a really bad mental health day. Like, my boss would have been like, yeah, no, we don't do that here. And even going to therapy, like, I've been in therapy since I was 23, 24. And I remember having to like sneak out to therapy when I worked my corporate job. Like, I had to go on lunch. My coworkers would be like, where are you going? And I'd be like, oh, I'm just like going home to get lunch. Like, I had to be so sneaky about it because you didn't talk about mental health in the workplace. That was such a no-no because upper management wasn't talking about mental health. And if you talked about mental health, you were deemed as like weak, or you weren't capable of doing your job. So you kept it very hidden into yourself. And that was not the culture I wanted to create at Neat. So we are very open about mental health. We're very open about what is going on in our personal lives, because like, whether you like it or not, you're bringing your personal life to work. Like, if something happened at home, you're going to bring those feelings into the office. And so I just want to keep tabs on what is going on in everybody's lives and helping wherever I can. And in doing so, we have created such a great, loyal, hardworking team.
That's fantastic. And it's great to hear that you're doing that. Because I think, you know, you talk about, you know, you can't talk about that in corporate America, right? You'd be fired on the spot. But you also alluded to what I think is even more insidious than the people who don't want to hear about that stuff is the people who you were describing about, like, where are you going? What are you doing? Like, those people who they undermine who you are and what you're trying to accomplish. And those people are toxic. They don't help either. And they're probably worse than the people who are like, we don't do mental health here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, I'm going to therapy because of you.
Exactly. I need an hour away from whatever you're doing over there. Oh my goodness. It's great that you're, but I do think we need to normalize that conversation too. I mean, like you said, when you go to work, you're not shutting off the personal part of your life and turning on the work part of your life. You are a whole person. You're a whole person when you're at work. You're a whole, you know, when work comes home to home, So you got to find that balance, and it's so great that you've created an environment. How are people reacting to that? I mean, are people taking advantage of that? And I mean, in a good way, taking advantage. Like, you know, are they responding to that?
Yes, our team responds so positively to it, and we actually have quite a few team members who have said, I've never been treated like this in the workplace before. I've never had a manager who cared about me or who asked me about my mental health or respected my mental health problems. And that makes me so sad that other people have been treated that way, but also makes me happy that now we can treat people the way that they deserve to be treated. And I think because of that, we're keeping people, and people are very motivated and they do a really good job. And it's because we respect them in that way. And we treat them like they are people, not just a number in the workplace.
That's great. That's fantastic to hear. And it's fantastic to hear that your business is growing so in such a strong way. That's awesome. Let's pivot back to the subject matter of what you and I do every day for a living, which is public relations and news and communications. And you had a couple of ideas about what you wanted to talk about, including the concept of trendy to trending. And we kind of already talked about this. How to put your business in front of billions for free. Now, I get these emails, and I'm sure you get them all the time, about, oh, we'll guarantee you coverage, or all this other crap, frankly. aside from that, what's this concept of trendy to trending? You already talked about it a little bit, but blow it out a bit.
Yeah, so let's talk about newsjacking. And I know it sounds like a really funny term if you've never heard it before, but essentially, what we do over at NEAT and what I recommend you do, even if you don't work at the PR agency, is to keep up with breaking news events and check out what is trending on X, trending on Instagram, on TikTok as well. You have to stay in the loop that way and figure out how you can attach yourself to that topic and be the go-to expert source. I used this example on LinkedIn the other day, and like, I'm sure people thought it was so funny, but have you seen the whole like micro shorts movement that came from Free People a couple of weeks ago?
No, I didn't. Go ahead.
Okay,
but you're so talking to Gen X here.
That's true.
Go ahead.
That's fair. So apparently all the girls are wearing micro shorts this summer. Not short shorts, micro shorts. And so there have
been like strings with gland conditions. What are these?
Yeah, these are not good. These are things that I cannot wear in public because you would be seeing a lot more than leg if I wore them. Sorry if anyone's listening to this and is like so offended by me right now, but it's something that's just been top of mind.
We are an equal opportunity offender podcast. Go ahead. Nobody's safe here. Go ahead.
Love it. Okay. So anyways, that's been trending recently. There have been like a lot of TikToks about it, tons of content that came out of this. And so ideas that you could actually take and leverage and pitch to the media, say for instance, you're a doctor. You might look at micro shorts and be like, how could I even attach myself to this micro shorts trend? Well, maybe you pitch a story about why micro shorts are actually bad for your health, according to a doctor, right? That's one angle. If you are a personal trainer, maybe the topic is 5 leg exercises to get yourself in shape for micro short season. So there's different ways to attach yourself to a trending topic. It just takes a little bit of creativity. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that is newsjacking.
There you go. Now, how fast do you have to move to take advantage of a trend? Because these trends can turn around on a dime.
They come and go so fast. You know this. So the news cycle moves very, very quickly. What's relevant today might not be relevant tomorrow. So as soon as you see a trend, I would say within like 48 to 72 hours, you have to pitch yourself for it or it's no longer relevant. The other way you can go about it, say you're like a little bit late to the trend and you're already seeing stories posted, you can actually pitch a follow-up story to the original story.
Yep, absolutely. Give it like day two legs kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Newsjacking is great. I mean, if done in the right way. I mean, there are ways that can be pretty ghoulish to execute newsjacking, but the ways you're just describing there are pretty good. And do you find that like the list kind of approach, like the 5 things or the 3 things approach, does that really hit in your estimation?
Yeah, that does so well for our clients. In fact, we lean into that and a lot of our clients are getting featured within like 72 hours. So we'll go from like pitch to publish within just a couple of days when we do that.
Now, do you have the conversation with because the client's got to participate, right?
Yes.
They just can't sit back and, you know, watch you run. Do you have that conversation in advance with the client saying, listen, we want to do this. We need your help.
Yep, absolutely. So we actually communicate with our clients over Slack and email, and our clients communicate pretty well when it comes to like coming back to us and answering our questions. So a lot of times we'll reach out and we'll be like, hey, this is trending right now, or it's about to be trendy. Let's talk about ways we can jump on this. One, are you interested? Okay. Two, right. Is there anything you feel strongly about us including in the pitch? Okay, great. We're going to send a pitch over to you within 24 hours and we just need your sign off on it. Right. And typically we get sign off pretty quickly. Clients know that when we have these opportunities, we have to move very fast.
That's great. And it's, I imagine that you have to acclimate people to that, whether it's in your onboarding process or just in regular conversations. I had an experience just recently where I have a great client. All my clients are great. Who are we kidding? But I have a great client in the fact that they're very responsive. They're very collaborative, like perfect PR client, right? They come with ideas. We go back and forth, that kind of thing. But they had this story that I pitch. I neglected to ask if one particular person was around and available. And it turned out that she physically was not in this geography that I'm in. She's in Florida. And, you know, she could do the Zoom interview, but the reporter wasn't really keen on the Zoom interview. And so massaged it back and forth. We eventually got the story and it worked out fine. But the idea being is that we as the PR people have to think about those little technical and tactical aspects in the pitching process, that it's not just the great idea, but it's the, okay, here's the great idea. And if need be, are you available and are you around and, you know, what have you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a lot of people forget that PR agencies or publicists, like they are the in-between. They are the go-between between the media and between the client. So even if something perfect works out with the media, it might not end up working out with the client, or vice versa. Something right, maybe very interesting might pop up with the client, but the media might not be receptive to it. And I think a lot of people like to blame publicists for when things don't go perfectly. But in reality, there's a lot of moving pieces.
Oh, so many, so many. Oh, we could make a whole nother show out of all the way this all gets done behind the scenes. I know. Well, you've got 10 secrets that PR agencies don't want you to know about media pitching. Give us one of those as we segue out of this conversation. Give us one of those and tell us where we can get the rest.
Okay, perfect. Let me tell you about one of our top secrets. And this is something you can take and run with, or it's something that you can tell your PR agency about. But credibility is so important. And I see a lot of people who do credibility wrong. Either they write 3 or 4 paragraphs about how great and wonderful they are in a pitch, and then the pitch becomes a novel and a journalist will never read the whole thing. They take credibility to a whole new level, or they don't include any credibility at all, or it's the wrong type of credibility. So for example, I see brands who are like, oh, we're a 7-figure business. And it's like, okay, great. But like, what else? There's so many 7-figure businesses out there. That's not really making you credible. So you really have to think about the journalist and their audience and what they would deem as credible. I don't like leaning in the direction of revenue. I just don't, because I don't think that serves as a credibility point. It doesn't really make you different or unique, but maybe the fact that you sell in major retailers, maybe you work with specific celebrities and certain celebrities have been spotted with your product. Maybe you have like 5,000 5-star reviews on Amazon. There are so many different ways to approach credibility, but try to not lean into revenue if you can avoid it. The other thing with credibility is you want to keep it short. You need to be able to say why you are credible in 1 to 2 sentences. That is all you have in a pitch. So if you start to find yourself getting carried away, I want you to ask yourself, does this really matter? Like, does this actually make me credible? Yes or no? You less is more when it comes to pitching.
Really smart stuff. Where can we get the other 9 secrets?
Yes. Okay. The other 9 secrets plus a media pitching template that we have used to get our clients into outlets like Forbes, CNN, USA Today, Harper's Bazaar. You can download that on our website, neattheagency.com.
Fantastic. We're going to give you another chance to plug that website in just a little bit. But right now, we are going to segue into the rapid fire question portion of our podcast. This is where we steal a page from Here Comes the Gen X reference inside the actor's studio. Jen, you're right. You're like, what the hell is that?
I think that's, that might be before my time.
That old show, right? That old show. I really have to update this reference. It's really bad. But we ask our guests a series of rapid fire questions. They're meant to elicit a simple answer. What, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, obviously we want to get a laugh or two out of you. So with your indulgence, Jen Hartman from Louisville, Kentucky, let's begin. Rapid fire question number one, what is your favorite news source?
TikTok.
All right. You get news from TikTok. That's fine. No, that's fine. See, but that's what that's a real terrific indication of the differences, I think, in the generations of where they get their news from, right? If I ask someone who's my age, which is 50, you know, you're going to get a newspaper, right? Or something like that. You're getting your news from TikTok. All right. But now you may want to think about this rapid fire question number two, which is, what is your favorite social media platform?
Oh man, can I say TikTok again or do I have to pick
a
different
one? You can
say
it again, it's fine.
Okay, I really love TikTok for like entertainment purposes and for getting news. I would say my second favorite is LinkedIn though.
Okay, very good. All right, and real quick segue or sidebar, is TikTok going away? Is TikTok getting banned?
I really hope not. I would be sad in my heart if TikTok was banned.
All right, I say 100% it's not. I'm calling bullshit on Congress. There you go. I said it. Rapid fire question number three, coffee or alcohol?
Alcohol. I'm a bourbon girl.
There you go. Rapid fire question number four, what is your favorite on the run food? I know.
Chipotle?
Right?
Does Chipotle?
Chipotle. Very good. Very good. What do you order at Chipotle?
Oh, I get like a bowl and I'm very specific about what I get. I get the same thing every time, but I actually am gluten-free, soy-free, and dairy-free. And they're one of the few places that like caters to that lifestyle.
There you go. That works. And rapid fire question number five, what do you want to be after you finish this career?
Oh, I want to be a professor full-time.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
You enjoy it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I teach grad students right now. I'm just an adjunct professor at my alma mater and it is so much fun. And so I hope one day when I sell everything I've built that I can move into education.
Fantastic. Well, we will look out for you, Jen. This has been a great conversation. Please let people know how they can find you and Neat the agency online.
Absolutely. So you can listen to my podcast, Served Neat. You can check out our website, neattheagency.com, and then follow us on Instagram, neat_theagency.
Fantastic, Jen. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I still call it Twitter. See, Gen X, there you go. And the TikToks at the PR Podcast. Send us a question or a comment. Our intro is by Christopher Apple. You can find him and his fantastic photography on Instagram at Christopher_APPOLDT. Check him out there and hire him for all your photography needs. You can find me online at Jody Fisher on all the socials and on the web at jodyfisherpr.com. We'll see you next time on the PR Podcast.